G'day, folks. So talk to Simon Dixon, Dicko, skateboarding veteran, someone that I looked up to growing up as a youngster skateboarding street back in the day. And it's great to see that he's found his love and passion back in the skateboarding scene. And he's now the number one ranked ASF Masters skateboarder. Padded up, getting back into the bowls, carving up, having a crack, loving it. It was awesome. And want to thank our sponsors, Permabil Australia, the greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here. And they've got great assistive tech also. So righto, let's get into it.
Keep rolling with Jake Briggs.
Oh yeah! Dicko, Simon Dixon, thanks for coming down, brother.
Briggsy, my pleasure, mate.
Mate, I've been amped on getting, and especially someone that I know in the local skate scene, and straight up telling you the truth, man, someone that I looked up to as a young skater back in Wyong.
Who?
100%, and because just some of the stuff that you were doing back then, when I was a young bloke just starting to roll around on that piece of wood, mate. So, and yeah, so it's an honour having you here, brother, and just seeing that you're still rolling around today, mate.
Mate, it's an honour to be on your podcast. I was hoping I might get picked.
100%.
Yeah, mate, look, you know what? Some of my best skateboarding memories would be like you, me, Grimmo, Whitey, Jono, just spending a day skating in bloody Wyong.
Bloody Wyong.
You know, like
Oasis Centre, public school. Hey, shout out to the boys too.
Yeah, boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, and that's like my first memory of you, because it was like the amount of pop that you had that used to blow me away. Because I was at Wyong public school. And I remember I was at the base of the, so you had like the 12, and then you had the four stair. But I was in that little quad bit there, and you had like a pie or something in your hand, and you've ollied up the four. And I'm like, who's this bloke? What's going on here? And then not long after that, that's when that whole setup, because I didn't know who you were, and then when the park benches
down the
12.
Whitey was there that day. I don't know what came over me that day. And I'll never forget it to this day. I remember, I think it was like four picnic benches down the stairs.
Slong, man.
Backside 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what? And here's another thing that sucks too. Like, we did so much stuff back then, but because we didn't have the technology, you know, none of us had an iPhone.
No.
You know, we couldn't just pull something out of our pocket and go, oh, wait, I'll record it before you do it.
Nah, and it was no DVDs pretty much even. It was all VHS.
But what I did like about that is how many things were just done just for the glory.
Just for the glory, yeah.
And whereas these days, a lot of kids, look, my son does it. Dad, come down the skate park. You can film for me so I can make an edit. And I'm like, who says that stuff at 12 years old?
I know, but it's just a different culture. Just with social media and just the way that kids interact. Not just kids, like adults too. Like,
well,
just, and what, you know, we can do on social media now, like to put our message across or whatever it may be. But the thing is too, that's a shame going back to Wyong and just the schools, like even though they're all just the rawness of it. Of those street skating through schools, it's nothing but skate parks now for kids.
Nice.
But they wouldn't really know, because every school in New South Wales, I don't know what it's like in other states and territories, if they're all boarded up, but everything in New South Wales, it's not like it used to be when we were young and rat bags and skating, jumping off stairs and everything else. So
our schools look like jails now. And like you say, when we were young, there was no fence. You just walked into the school, and that every school was a skate park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the kids, like you said, the kids are missing out on that rawness of skateboarding that we grew up on every day. It wasn't meet at the skate park. It was, well, we'll meet at that school, or we'll meet at this spot, or...
Yeah.
You know, if you did have a skate park in your town, you're one lucky little bastard.
Yeah. Very, like, what, I was probably 15, I think, when Oasis Centre came around in Wong. And before that, like, what, you had Level 2.
And I, you know, I'm a bit older than you, and I always grew up in Wyong. So imagine how long I was waiting for. Do you remember the quarter pipe?
Oh, the quarter pipe at Baker Park.
What an insult that was to us all. But hey, you know what?
That thing was like over the.
It was better than nothing. You know.
That's it.
And I did. I don't know how many people got to see it, but I was fortunate enough to watch Jamie Fletcher skate that quarter pipe once. If anyone who knows who Jamie Fletcher is, well, it was a sight to see, I can tell you.
Shout out to Fletcher, tip him.
Jamie Fletcher.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a shame, but I drew inspiration from that fella too. So, like what we're talking about before, just that one distinctive trick, like that one of many, but just that seamless salad groin, cross a quarter, and then revert back into fakie. Yeah, like just awesome on transition.
Yeah, just awesome on a skateboard.
Yeah. But that's life, and, you know, advice is sometimes grab people and, you know, take them down dark holes and they don't come back, eh?
Some people don't, some people do, but, you know. I think everyone's, you know, at some point they get dragged down a dark hole and, you know, let's see what happens here.
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, I know both of us have gone through our own, because everybody's got their own journey, like you said, some sort of adversity in their life, like with yourself and with me. But, hey, life goes on and we're still rolling. You're still on the deck. I'm on a different type of set of wheels. But
mate, you're still rolling.
I know. But tell you what, like, just the passion hasn't, just because I'm a quad now, the passion hasn't left.
Oh.
The amount of videos, skating vids that I still buy on, you know, iTunes or wherever I can get this stuff, you know, still love it.
Yep. Yeah, I think, you know what, if you had asked me back in the day, you know, when you would have been 16, I might have been 20 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, reckon you'll still be skating at 43? I don't even think I would have expected to be alive at 43.
Mate.
And I probably think now I probably skate more, if not just as much, as what I always like through my 20s. And
yeah, right.
I'm just hungry for it again. Hey,
hungry? Talking about hungry. So let's talk about the Masters and your position there. And let's talk about the start, mate, because it's been good, like, for myself seeing your transition, like went getting into the whole vert bowl skating game. But not just yourself, but seeing the resurgence of that scene. Like, that wasn't happening when it was all street when we were young. And then that was popular in skating culture. Like, it still is now. But I'm glad to see that one part of skateboarding didn't die out. Like, it's just, it seems like it's exploded, not just here in Oz, everywhere for a lot of youngsters. And it's good a lot of these skate parks are popped up with monster bowls so kids can get in and have a crack at this stuff, you know?
Mate, I've always had a passion for vert skating. But growing up on the Central Coast, we never had a vert ramp. So I was forced to street skate, you know. Not forced, because I love to skate, but that was just the only skateboarding I could do. And slowly parks started opening up, and then time went on, you know. And I remember, I think I was about 37, and I heard about this bowl that had been built in Newcastle at Bar Beach. And I was like, I really don't have, like, the will. I just I'm 38 years old. I don't want to street skate anymore. I'm not ollieing. I'm not trying to kickflip 10 stairs and grind down rails. You know, 38.
You used to do it though.
Like, well, yeah, but maybe 28. Like, yeah. So I take the trip up to Newcastle one day and I see this bowl that's, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. There's quite a good crew there. And I just had a skate. I'd never really skated a bowl. So I had a few rolls and met a couple of people. And then they told me about a local competition that they have up there. So I waited for it to come around. I rocked up there for the day. I just went up by myself. Just started talking to some guys up there and
just sussing it all out.
Yeah, just having a suss, you know. And then I get there and I find out there's a division called the Masters. And I go, what's the Masters? And they say it's for guys 40 and over. And I'm like, what? Is this a thing? And they're like, yeah, it's awesome. And sure enough, there was like a dozen guys there between 40 and 55 all ready to skate and go in this comp. And I was like, but I'm 38. And they're like, you've got to be 40. So that was when I decided, right, I've got 2 years and it's on. And I learned how to skate bowl. I made myself go to the bowl and skate bowl.
Scary stuff, mate. Like, I didn't, you know, didn't personally do it. Like, the only thing I've ever done on a vert ramp is drop in on a vert ramp. So I know that feeling, just when you fall for a bit, then you catch a transition. But not like you guys. Like, I never went past the coping, you know what I mean, on the opposite end. But
mate, I love it. I think it's perfect for guys over 35, over 30, you know. If you want to keep skating and keep that longevity going, mate, put some pads on and jump in the bowl.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's been the best thing I've done for my skateboarding. So now I'm 43. I've been competing in the Masters since I was 40. And I managed in, at the end of 2019, I was currently ranked the ASF Masters champion. So, you know, like, hard work paid off for me.
Good
like,
on
I'm
you,
pumped. Like, I'm so pumped. I've,
2 years, boom, now look.
Yeah, got myself a couple of sponsors and
Yeah.
So but really, like, I need to I'll take a couple of years backwards, right? To when I first went to Newcastle, and some people I met at Newcastle, John Bogarts, Brady Waters, Anthony McIntyre, Luke, they're probably the main guys. I've probably missed it. Oh, so bad with names, eh?
I'm the same, brother.
And you know, there's always those couple of mad dudes that you forget to mention.
Yeah.
His name's on the tip of my tongue, and he's such a great Gravel Burns. You're
there
a legend.
He is.
He's such a legend,
the Graveler.
But those Newcastle boys,
yeah,
mate, they just welcome everyone to that bowl with open arms and like, come and have a skate. This is our bowl.
Locals or not, doesn't matter. Just,
and if it wasn't for that bunch of Newcastle guys,
yeah,
like, I could have gone up there that day and gone home going,
could have been discouraged, yeah.
Bullshit. I might as well just keep street skating or not skate at all.
Yeah, these locals are keeping us out, man.
But those boys, you know, they made that day for me. Like,
that's awesome.
I couldn't wait to get back there to skate with them and know that I had, there was this bowl scene now that I could be a part of, and I had something to work for. You know, I was 38 at the time and I needed to be 40 so I could go in the Masters. Like,
and what was that like, just learning, like, even though you'd done bits of it, how was it just jumping into the bowl vert scene?
From always being a street skater to making that transition into bowl, one thing I will never forget, like, learning how to skate bowls and stuff, and my mate Luke Snell, he was learning at the same time as me. We were both making that transition, but just a simple carve around a bowl corner, that took me so long just to master that, you know, and I was always like, why can't I do it?
And is that just a thing of knowing how to shift your body weight when you're going around?
leaning forward and
just
different because I'd predominantly street, but skated transition mini ramps.
Yeah.
But you're only going backwards and forwards, you know. Occasionally you might score an indoor bowl somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You killed it on transition. I wish I've been looking for it. I've got a photo of you. I took it when I was 15. You're doing a frontside air at Oasis, launching out of the quarter. You're about a foot above the coping. And also in the photo, because Duran Hudson, if you remember young Duran, he was standing up on the top of the quarter. Yeah, because I got a few photos like that. And I've been ripping my hair out trying to find him, but I can't bloody find him.
That's because we used to spend so much time there.
Yeah.
And you know, this is one that's a bit off topic, not really, but one thing I love about skateboarding, you know, like we've sort of mentioned that I'm a bit older than you, and Duran, who you just mentioned that was in that photo at the skate park, he's a bit younger than you.
Oh, pretty much same age, yeah.
Skateboarding, it sort of has no age boundary, you know?
100%.
And it was only just the other day that we're at Charlestown Bowl, and a mate of mine who's 38 was standing there, like just standing on the platform with my son who's 12, but me and his wife were sitting away from them just watching those two talk to each other.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's when we both looked at each other and went, isn't it funny about skateboarding, like you've got a fully grown man and a 12-year-old boy, and they're just having a conversation about, like, it wasn't even skateboarding they were talking about, you know. They were just interacting that well through skateboarding that they were just standing there talking shit to each other.
And that's what I loved and where I felt accepted, because I was one of the youngest of the crew, because all you guys are a lot, I wouldn't say a lot older, but a few years. But when you're growing up, but when you're smaller, you know what I mean? Like, because a lot of yous might be 18 to 20, and then, you know, I'm 15, 16.
It's a big deal when you're that age.
That's it, and just feeling accepted, you know? As long as you're not snaking anyone, you're doing the right thing, so.
And I think, like, in that little clique that we had in Wyong, there was no... You know, there were so many different ages in that group, you know, and it never mattered, like.
No, and seeing the different they were locals, not to Wong, but that would come into town, like where you had some of the Tyson brothers from the entrance that used to float in, and some of the stuff that they would pull out, you know, Nolly Backside Hills and all sorts of tech stuff, and then you'd have Grundy, Russell Grundy come from bloody Morissette. And he's pulling these backside kickflip melons over the box, you know.
Yeah, I'll quickly take this opportunity to give Russell Grundy a shout out, because he's always not so much helped me and Callan out, but he's just been supportive of me and Callan, and you know, he's another guy he's right behind the comp scene and ASF, and
is he a judge?
Yeah, he does a lot of judging and that for the comps. And you know, like Russell Grundy is a big part of Australian skateboarding, and you know, without guys like Russell Grundy, Renton Miller, the suitcase, Trevor Ward, he's up in Brisbane, not Brisbane, the Gold Coast. You know, like skateboarding needs these kind of guys that
they need all these different characters to help build it up
to push it, and
not to need to. They have built it up to what it is today.
You know, like Russell Grundy, he spent time in the States as a pro on Billabong.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
He's a big push for Newcastle skateboarding, you know. Mm. Renton Miller from Melbourne, he's king of concrete.
Yeah.
You know, without Renton Miller, there's no king of concrete, means there's no competitions.
No, because remember, you know, Renton when he was on Think Skateboards.
But Renton was number one vert skater in the world at one time in his life, mate. The guy's a legend.
I had the opportunity when I was 15, I flew down to the X Games when I was in Melbourne at the Docklands, and I remember watching Renton Miller pumping on the vert and had Spiderbait playing live in the background. And then it was all those old school, like, I'm not 100% sure if Taz Pappas was there, but some of the other names that you'd know, like Dom Kekich and some of those other
dogs from down there. I'd be very surprised if Tuss wasn't there. Yeah, unless he was in the States.
Well, that's what I think he was.
When all that went down.
Because they were massive in the States back then when they're on Globe and, you know, I had, you know, was wearing some of their threads.
Yeah.
You know, that were dedicated through Globe.
Yeah. Look, I'm a big Pappas fan. Tuss knows that. Me and Tuss, I wouldn't say we're close friends and that, but we definitely know each other. And occasionally I get the random message from Tuss, just a g'day or a silly video or something.
Yeah, okay. You know,
Tuss has got a lot to do with Excite as well.
Yeah, righto. So he's a pioneer in the vert scene, Australian vert scene for
Well, when I got on Excite and my relationship with Excite started getting pretty solid, I sent Tuss Pappas a message introducing him to Excite pads and, you know, just wondering if he'd want to be a part of an Australian pad company that's going to set the standard, you know. And he just said, mate, if your guy can send my guy some pads, he goes, I'm on board.
Yeah, right.
And we had Tuss Pappas competed in X Games Sydney last year.
That's right.
And Tuss Pappas was on Excite pads at X Games Sydney.
That's awesome. What to have... To have these smaller brands still representing on the big stage, because that's what – there's so much confliction there, because when I go into like a main surf skate – a mainstream sort of skate surf shop, and when you're looking at the especially the shoes, it's nothing but the big sports brands. Where's America? Where's Osiris? Where's ES? Where's Etnies? Yep. Where's all that? When you used to have about like 12 variations of different brands and more of just skate shoes alone.
Yeah.
And where they were skater owned and operated. And now a lot of them, you know, they've had to fold over because you've had like the big Nikes and Adidas come in and just swoop the scene. But look, but you got to look at the money behind them too, so.
Well, you know, like Nike now, Niger, like that's money and dollars, and that's what the kids want. Like the kids love Niger,
yeah.
And the kids are the ones spending their parents' money.
Yeah, it's hard, and it's like you can't blame these riders either. Like if the certain situations that they're in, and they see this paycheck coming in from Nike, where it's like life changing, and depending on, like I said, the situation, like well, I don't know, it's. Yeah, tell us your thoughts on that,
well,
brother.
You know what? I can't say what I would do, and I don't really want to.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, when you've got a multi-million dollar company approaching you saying, we want to give you, we just want to throw money at you to ride our shoe. What kid's not going to say yes?
I know.
You know, like, come on. Like, don't call them a sellout or anything, because what would you do if you were getting that kind of offer waved in front of your face? So I don't think there's a lot of people out there that would say no.
Nah, because then what's happening if you got, say, a Niger that's on Nike and then that's pumping more money into them, like into the skate section of that, which goes into that Nike SB comp, and then that's more money going into that to get it around the world. So there's a lot of conflict going on, but then you look at, I don't know if this is 100% true, but from what I've been told, like, say, a big US skater like Torrey Pudwill, you know, where he was on, say, Plan B and some of these other bigger brands and with his shoes, and then when he's jumped ship to go with some of these smaller brands. That's what I got told. I don't know if it's 100% true, but he wants to support skater-owned, skater-operated. And I think that's awesome, taking a hit.
Almost like a 50-50 split, you know, like you're going to get these skaters that are saying you get sponsored by a mainstream company, you're a sellout, I'm only going to be sponsored by these skater-owned, skater-operated companies. And then, you know, you got the same people like saying, oh, skateboarding's going into the Olympics in 2020, right? Skateboarding's not an Olympic sport. Well, you know what? It's all skateboarding.
It is.
That's the word, skateboarding.
Yeah,
like
it's got across all divisions. If you're gonna have these elite people that just do top comps and Olympic level, good on them. To the person that's just learning a tic tac, to the person that's, you know, rolling street, whatever variation it is, and even people with disabilities that are getting, you know, where I've seen amputees on boards rolling around on their hands. Oh, I can't remember his name, D'Souza from Brazil.
Ogi or something?
Ogi D'Souza.
Yeah.
When I remember watching the old Europe vids where it would showcase all the different Europe locations, and I remember seeing this Ogi D'Souza.
Oh, RIP 411.
I know. It's sad, isn't
Best
it?
Video series ever. Look.
I know.
Why didn't it change into DVD format? What?
I don't know. Or just the whole – or jumping above that into the digital space. Hey, it could come back. If you got some of these big players, maybe the Tony Hawks and some of the who's who that's got some money to throw it to resurrect some of these, even Transworld.
Yeah, well, Transworld's gone digital now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no more paper, Transworld.
No. But
that was a sad day.
It was.
But I mean, look, I do love Thrasher magazine.
Yeah.
Transworld was a staple of mine, like
100%.
It wasn't my go-to mag, especially if I was like flying to Gold Coast or Melbourne or something.
Yep.
You know, airport newsagent, where's that Transworld?
That'll
get me to Melbourne easy.
I remember there was a Transworld that I had, and it was an Australian edition, and it was upside down, like half of it was like standard or like American stuff and around the world.
And then it went down under.
Yeah, and then you had to flip it up and then you'd see the Andrew Curry's Time Skateboards.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd see, you know, XEN, Mapstone Brothers.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know what? That was those names that you mentioned then, that was a big time skateboarding era in Australia. Mm. Like that was when skateboarding was just everywhere. It was so much fun back then. It's still fun now. Like, don't get me wrong, you know.
I think the rawness is like it's totally different.
Look, you know what? This is a sad thing to say, but I feel to an extent the rawness is starting to dissipate. Like, you still do get those raw Hessian type skaters out there, but. Mm. Like kids, and there's nothing wrong with safety. I love it. You know, I'm a big supporter of pads and helmets and that. You know, but
so am I, man.
But that seems to just be now. You know, skate parks are just flooded with these little grommies just padded up from head to toe on their boards, and it's great to see, and I love it.
Yeah.
But we're losing that rawness. You know, like I think to an extent, these skate parks, these perfectly groomed, built. Precisionly lined skate parks, they're taking that edge away from the skateboarder, you know?
Yeah, that's what I feel. Like, and you put it exactly spot on, perfectly groomed, like compared to some of the stuff that we used to roll on back in the day. Some of the bowls were, you know, where they were built but they were half chewed out and you couldn't skate a certain section, but or you'd make do with it, but even if it wasn't fully groomed where it was supposed to be maybe a bit vert and then it would be over vert and you just got to deal with those certain situations,
Built by the local council who, you know, they were there with some buckets of concrete and a trowel and probably never owned a skateboard in their lives but
no.
Had some little design to go off and put this together for us and we had to skate it.
Mate.
But I think... Yeah, I think growing up skating in the streets is a big part of skateboarding, you know?
It is. And just a different feel too because I remember and just where it would have a collective environment and it was good too what they had at Wong with the Oasis Centre and where, you know, because we're all rat bags and they were trying to make that a safe haven for a lot of us guys because a lot of the ruckus that does go on in around in that area, and you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the lights stay on there till like 2 o'clock in the morning or something?
It was awesome. Yeah.
Like of all places, Wyong.
I know.
Let's build a skate park in Wyong and let's just add some lights that don't cut off till 2 a.m.
I know. We'd love it though. We'd be, you know, our parents didn't because we'd be there till whatever time in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
Just carrying on like...
You know, and we all think bags. It's pretty special now that Batter Yard's got lights till 10 p.m.
10.
Yeah, like, you know, Newcastle Bowl that I was talking about before.
Has that got any lights?
No lights, no.
That's what I thought driving past.
They won't allow it there, you know. Terrigal Skate Park, no lights, like.
This is that new one at Terrigal, yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, no lights there.
Don't want to put any in, no?
No, they won't, no. Mona Vale, Northern Beaches, big. They've got a really nice skate park and a vert ramp there. They've got lights till 10 p.m. just like Baddo.
Nice.
It's pretty much that's it, really.
Yeah, but it's all pretty much since Baddo's been open. I haven't heard of anything negative going down. You might have had...
No.
Yeah, it's all been pretty positive, yeah?
We had one incident a few weeks ago. I can't say who did it, right, because I don't know. Like, I just heard stories. So, but what happened was a lot of wax got crushed and rubbed around the actual surface of the bowl, the flat bottom and everywhere. So predominantly it was like skating in a bowl carved out of a giant ice cube. And being waxed, it wasn't a simple process of just getting a rag and wiping it up. So
you'd have to need the bowl trail in there.
The bowl got closed for 2 weeks pretty much. And the end result was council had to pay for some special hot steam cleaner, pressure steamer clean thing.
Really?
Yeah, had to go over the whole bowl with that, and then Convict came in and resealed it all and opened it back up. So,
yeah,
so for, you know.
What a pain though, like, and all the money that had to go into getting it bloody resealed and surfaced and everything.
Yep, but, you know.
It's going to happen.
They do have CCTV there.
Yep.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, they use it, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think we've been really, really lucky at Baddo. We had one little bit of graffiti when the park was getting built.
Mm.
They found the kids who did it from the cameras. We've had no graffiti there since.
Nice.
One little fire that some kids lit in the bushes. I was actually there that night when they lit it.
Little shits.
Yeah. I wasn't impressed and they knew it, you know. But the fire brigade turned up. They put it out. And look, real minimal trouble at Baddo.
That's good.
Which has been really good because...
Pretty good culture there, yeah.
Good, yeah, like, you know, all the kids have come around to, you know what, they've started to realise this is their skate park.
Want to take care of it, yeah.
But they need to look after their skate park.
Good.
And the message is slowly sinking in, you know.
Because I've seen little things that you've been doing here and there when it's like people just leaving trash and crap around and you've gone around making a point, like, you know, clean up. Don't just leave crap around. You know, respect this place.
Respect, mate. It's fading, I think. Like, these kids these days.
Come on, mate. Give it to them. Hey, so talk us through Baddo. This bowl, is it true that it's one of the deepest in the Southern Hemisphere?
12.5 feet deep in the deep end.
Looks deep, man.
Deepest. I think it is the deepest bowl in the Southern Hemisphere. So, actually...
How's it feel dropping in? Are you free falling for a bit or what?
No, it's all good. Just hug that transition, mate.
Yeah.
But a Central Coast skater, really, really, really good. Probably, I'd have to say, would rival Jamie Fletcher, but in a different era. Matt Katai.
Yes.
Matty Katai. Shout out to you. Hurry up and get back on that skateboard.
Yeah. I've got memories of that guy, even at Wong Skateboard.
Lots of Central Coast skateboarders do, mate. That guy.
When he was a young dude, dropping in off the bins, when he's there with, I've been racking my brain trying, I remember Pat, because Pat and this other guy, I think it was Al.
Was he sort of going a bit blind, Al?
I think so, because it was always, I'm pretty sure it was Al. Because it was the two of them and sometimes they'd bring young Maddie. There'd be the three of them cruising. Yeah. And that young bloke would be helmet on. He'd have the Otto on top of the quarter at Wong, dropping in, free-falling a bit and then straight in transition. But he goes, from what I've seen, he goes the right, like, vert and...
Vert, bowl, everything.
Overseas, like, too, yeah.
He's He's been to the States a couple of times. He's before the demise of Bowlerama, he was getting invites to Bowlerama every year to compete with the top pros. So getting back to why I brought Matt Katai up.
Okay.
Is because Matty Katai, he named Batto Bowl as the thinking man's bowl.
So
that can sort of put it in perspective for skateboarders. So this isn't a bowl that you can just drop in and just go, yeah, mad, I can skate it.
Got to really map out that
run. It's a thinking man's bowl. Think about where you're going. Think about what's coming up next. Because there's so many corners in it. There's like four hips in it. Like,
yeah.
It's out of control. Like, you know, and the shallowest part in it, I think, is 6 foot.
Yeah,
right.
So it
goes 6 foot to seven. There's a 9 or 9.5. And then you got 12.5 foot deep end. Like,
so there's a lot to consider if you're just going flat out and trying to put a run together. If it's competition or just free flowing.
I think when Batto opened, I think we had...
I was there for the opening. It was awesome.
I broke my left wrist the day of the opening. Third go in the bowl, broke my left wrist. I'm pretty sure, I won't claim it, but I think I was the first break at Batto. That was the day the fences came down.
Yeah, right.
And that's, yeah. So
how'd that go down, bro? Just going for a bail and then...
No. You know what? All I did, I just rolled down the waterfall into the deep end.
Okay.
But I'd never ridden a bowl like that before. So I didn't even really know where I was going. Like, I was just like, well, I've got to go down into that deep end. And then I went down that waterfall and just shit just got real loose.
That's why it's that thinking man's bowl. You've got to know where you're rolling.
That's right. Yeah. So I broke my wrist on opening day. And then I think we had some like crazy statistic happen. It was like almost a break a day for like 7 days in a row. Like everything you could think of that went wrong in that bowl went wrong as far as the destruction to the human body, you know?
Yeah, right.
Even so there's a local Central Coast surfer, Justin Allport. They call him Jughead. He gets invited to the Cape Fear comp at...
Oh, down at Botany. Yeah.
So he's got three daughters, I think, maybe four. Like, sorry if I'm getting this wrong, Jughead. But so his eldest daughter, I can't remember her name, but they're all really confident surfers and, you know, fit young girls and they know how to look after themselves and that. So and they started skating in the bowl and they're going really good, getting a bit of a carve game on. And the eldest one decided she wanted to drop in on the deep end. And before anyone could sort of give her a couple of tips or some advice, she just went. She just dropped in.
Tell me she pulled it off.
I wish I could, I can't. So she dropped in the deep end of Batto like she was taking off on a, you know, 12-foot wave.
Oh.
And she just went a bit back foot heavy. And I don't know how it happened, but by the time she got to the bottom, she was upside down and inside out and her face pretty much, her jaw broke her fall. It was instant broken jaw and there was just so much blood. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Poor youngster.
Like a 12-year-old girl, 11-year-old girl this happened to.
Man.
It was crazy.
She had a crack though, man.
She had a mad crack. And, you know, unfortunately, I haven't really seen them back at the bowl since that.
I was going to say, has it deterred them? Stick to the water.
And look, it does.
Something like that's going to put you back. Like, I even know, like, with some of my injuries, like, when, I snapped my arm in half, like, compound fracture and done my ankle and just, like, confidence-wise, how it pairs you back a little bit.
Yep.
And it's all upstairs. It's that mental game there.
Yeah. Yep.
Where you just got to try and push through it.
Do you know what? I've never had a compound fracture,
but
you just mentioned you had one on your arm. And the only other one I ever saw was Jay Ether. Jeezle.
Bit of a tech wizard back in the day.
Yeah. Like, and that's what I mean. Like, Jay's probably, like, he'd have to be at least 6 years younger than me.
Mm.
But, you know, because of skateboarding, you don't look at that age difference, you know. Jay's just he's just another dude I skated with.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I remember the day at level two that he did that. Bone popping straight through his forearm. I was like, oh, you're going to hospital, buddy.
That's what happened with mine. It snapped. Like, I went upside down just for a simple grind and I flung my hand down on the grinding surface, just on the little pad, and my arm pretty much folded over it. So it was like 90 degrees and like snapped halfway, bone sticking out. Had to lay there for 40 minutes until the ambos come. And talking about bloody Duran again, I swear every time I had a major injury...
He was there.
He was there, even outside of skateboarding. And the bastard would always be laughing too. Hudson.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, you know, we knew a lot of the same people, like...
Mm.
Yeah, it was good. It was, I miss the Wyong days, like...
Yeah, same, mate.
People that didn't grow up in Wyong... They don't know Wyong. They don't, you know, they all go, ooh, Wyong.
Yeah, and shout it, jump in there, Shane. Tell us your Wyong experience with us rat bags and how you felt about the whole scene and, like, what it made you into the person that you are today.
Is there any, while Shane has his little bit,
can Shannon,
sorry, can I do a quick toilet run?
Do it, brother. Do it. Oh, it's just there, brother.
I'm just kind of like, it's been funny listening to you guys because I'm just sort of reminiscing from all of those days. All the names that you guys are bringing up, the, you know, companies that you guys are talking about, it's exactly a big piece of my growing up. So it's been kind of fun just sort of... going, oh, yeah, I haven't seen that guy. Like, I haven't seen Jay in a really long time. That was a guy at school. He was in my year. I mean, Hearts was the same, you know. It's kind of a trip just hearing you guys go on.
Just, the nostalgia kicks in.
Yeah.
But it's good, but just the culture of it, I think, just how... Even though we were carrying on like rat bags, but it was like a safe space, like when we were together as a bunch and what we're jumping into.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny hearing you mention that, like talk about how you kind of looked after the skate park because it was your skate park. That's kind of how it was for us.
Yes, 100%.
We didn't really do too many crazy things. I saw a few crazy things happen, but there was also a lot of protecting the people at the space and protecting the space itself.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of our space.
Yeah.
And that Oasis Center was good enough to kind of do a bunch of things to keep us, you know, off the streets.
Yep.
I mean, they
kept us off the streets, but on the streets at the same time, but taking it easy. But hey, I wanna give a shout out to the Oasis Center and what they did. And before I forget it, just that Brewarrina trip that we did.
that was hilarious. That was one of the coolest experiences I had as the young fella. They all took us out and a whole bunch of ramps and a whole bunch of rails and all kinds of stuff. Out into a place that I'd never go to
Way out west north, you know where Brewarrina is, brother?
And no.
Because they had another Oasis Center out there.
Oh, so this was... Yeah, right. So okay,
They took all us with a truckload. There was a few of us skating and they took a truckload of ramps out to Brewarrina. Like, it's predominantly a... Aboriginal Murray town, and
a mission town or
you can throw that in the mix there too, but just throwing the ramps out and just putting on a bit of a show.
Obviously they had no skate park there.
No,
they just had the youth centre. You were bringing the skate park to the car park or
we're inside a bloody basketball stadium.
Oh really?
because the whole idea was to kind of bring that, I guess you'd say, city kind of
like
experience and what we were all doing and what they were doing for us out to the kids out there and show them, like, I guess, to kind of get the same sort of thing, get them, instead of them sort of hanging around, getting into no good, like, hey, here's something you can do with your time. We took BMXs. Skateboards and a whole bunch of stuff. And
funny experience, man. Like, the first night, I slept through it, but Shannon and some of the other boys were awake because, you know, you got these young fellas rolling in the town, and when we first rocked up, there was, like, some disco thing going on, you know, and a lot of the, I think the young guys didn't really like that, some of the locals, and then we were staying in this dorm, and it was all fenced off and whatnot, but some of the local mob was scaling the fence and pulling on the doors and pulling and climbing on the roof. They didn't get in though, but I slept through it, but we survived and we skated on.
It was an interesting experience because stepping off the bus, and we all just jumped on the bus and we went, yeah, we'll go for a, you know, a run out there with you and have a skate. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
But nothing else going on. And we pulled up and we were a little bit late, and so the like disco kind of thing they had going had already started. And then they saw the bus pull up and it just got swamped by all these kids who, like, felt like celebrities. They were like, oh, yeah, they're here, they're here. And the doors opened. And like,
it's a funny feeling, man.
And, yeah, and that place we stayed in for the first night, it was razor wire fence and, like, you know, barred windows and all that kind of stuff.
I knew what it would be like, you know, because me being Aboriginal and I've been out west before. But it was just funny for me to see the interaction. Like, I didn't know the Bree crew because I'd never been out there. But just seeing how a lot of the mates, like Shannon and his brother and everybody else, interacted, like being in an Aboriginal community like that. But, man, awesome experience being able to, you know, put on a little bit of a show and dance, like skating-wise, for a lot of the crew in there.
Totally, like... How pumped up the demos get you, eh?
Oh, man, you know, and I got smashed, I remember, because there was a bit of a stage and so it had a bit of height to it and I did it like a kickflip off it, caught it, but when I landed, I pretty much done the splits and didn't think I was going to give it a crack again, but just because that energy's in the room, you know, you feel like you just got to fulfill what you started to do it, even if you're injured or not, you know.
Yeah.
Because you hear about some of these athletes that are out there when they're in a comp and they got, like, that their leg or something's, like, half broken or fully broken and they just carry on with their run, and you hear this stuff happening over and over again, just that adrenaline kicks in and gets you going, eh?
Well, we go to Coffs Harbour every year. So Coffs Harbour have a competition every year called Bowlanana. So that makes sense. Any skateboarder knows Bondi has Bowlerama, right? Biggest skateboard comp in Australia. Unfortunately, major sponsors have pulled out. So Bowlerama didn't happen last year. Bowlerama isn't happening this year. And
is it always at Coffs or different locations? Or
no, what? No. The Bowlerama is always at Bondi Beach.
Oh, so that Bowlerama. Yeah.
So, but that didn't happen last year.
Because then they'd have the
year.
Other warm-up comp, the one at Manly, and then that would transition
yeah,
over.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, now they've stopped the whole Manly.
Because that was massive at Bondi. Right. And the amount of sponsors, and you'd have, you know, Bucky Lissek in the Masters.
Tony Hawk, Caballero, everyone.
Big names.
So, yeah, we're hoping that it's still going to happen. Like, I'm privy to some rumours here and there, like, from certain people that, so...
Come on, man, give us a secret sauce, don't hold back.
One thing I have heard is that X Games are planning on taking over Bowlerama. It will still be Bowlerama, but X Games will be the major sponsor for it.
Yeah, right.
But this isn't...
They got the resources.
This isn't a confirmation or anything. This is just what I've heard from certain people in the industry.
Just on the down low.
Yes. I shouldn't be saying it, but, you know. And another one that comes along with that is ABC at Newcastle, which is massive for Newcastle. Like, ABC is...
Because that's a comp that goes throughout New South Wales, yeah? Or is that state?
No, that's... The ABC one is like... So it's, so King of Concrete's are all tied into Australian Skateboarding Federation.
Yeah, yeah. So that, I know it is King of Concrete. Yeah.
So and that's how you accumulate. Any sanctioned competition in Australia
yep.
will be sanctioned by the ASF, which is the Australian Skateboarding Foundation. And that's what your points, you know, that's how you get your points in that ASF. Is,
yep.
So...
where you're the number one ranked master.
Yeah, it just so happens that that's how it turned out. But so ABC was like, it was like the end of the year, you know, so all your rankings, points and that, and then if you went good in ABC, you could end up being bowl riding champion, you know.
Yeah, so, okay.
And then after ABC was Bowlerama. So usually, you know, the champions – got to go into Bowlerama and, it, you know, it gave you something to work for, you know what I mean? Like, so you'd compete in the little ones all year, then you'd go into ABC, hope you do good, and you might get into Bowlerama.
Well, that's the thing they'll look forward to because you're going, it's like you have to inject yourself in these regional comps to build up that point and system so you can get into Bowlerama. But then it's good just getting out into these different places that, it's unfamiliar territory for yourself or other people, but it just brings an influx into that regional space, you know?
Well, I'm going to bring something up now about Bowlerama, and, like, the only reason I'm bringing up is because you said, you know, you work hard in these regional comps all year and build your points up and hope that you're going to get somewhere at the end of the year and maybe get into that Bowlerama. Unless you happen to be in this, like, minute age bracket between 40 and 45 years old and doing really, really good that year, like the top, thinking, yes, this is my year, I'm getting into Bowlerama. I'm going to skate with Tony Hawk and everyone.
Caballero in the Masters.
And then they announce that they're upping the age in the Masters from 40 to 45 and you're 42. It might be the number one ranked master on paper, but because you're not 45, you can't compete in Bowlerama Masters.
Why wouldn't it just be 40 and then leave it open?
So
that doesn't make sense.
This is another thing that I just heard through the grapevine from certain people.
Right.
Now, a couple of certain members from the Bones Brigade that got paid to come to Australia to go in Bowlerama who are older than 45 and who often win Bowlerama or get podium.
If you're talking like the Bucky Lissex of the world.
No, not Bucky, because Bucky doesn't compete in Masters because Bucky is a bloody legend, right? And Bucky Lissex, even though he's over 40, eligible to compete in Masters,
yep.
He believes that his skill level is way above the Masters, so Bucky still competes in the Opens.
Okay.
And that is to me, that's just a testament to how good of a guy Bucky Lissex is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's not after the glory. He wants to compete against people at his level. He doesn't want to go into a division where he's just going to dominate like that.
No.
That's not what he's about. Like, so, you know, a small up yours to anybody who bags out Bucky Lissex because, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it. If he's still got the skills to compete at that higher level, but with the Pedro's of the world.
Yeah, and that's what he wants to do. Yeah. That's where he wants to be. He doesn't want to be in the Masters, like, but he's allowed to be. So, and there was a couple of other American guys that were eligible for Masters that could probably beat certain other guys.
Okay.
So a protest was formed. We want to up the age from 40 to 45 to keep certain guys out of going into that Masters comp so certain other people wouldn't lose any prize money. Even though certain other people were getting paid tens of thousands of dollars to come here in the first place to skate in that comp.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's crazy politics in skateboarding too. Like, skateboarding has weird-ass politics that some certain skateboarders don't like, me being one of them, like, but you just have to deal with it. Like, you wouldn't think that a sport like skateboarding...
Is it like just a prestige and money thing and look and image? And I suppose you'd have a lot of, as you do with any sport or scenario, egos involved.
Mate, in the Masters division for Bowlerama, I think it's about $8,000 first place.
Mm.
But if you're already getting paid like close to $100,000 to come out in and compete, does that extra $8,000 really mean that much, you know? Like,
that's just a bit of a side hustle, man.
Does it mean so much to you that you're going to kill another man's dream, you know? Who didn't really stand a chance of beating said person anyway, but I could have fulfilled a dream by having my name in maybe the same heat list with that guy's name too, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, that would have been like, whoa, never thought in a million years I'd ever compete against that guy, let alone be in the same heat as him, you know?
You know, if you're coming up against Steve Caballero, someone that you've looked up to.
Mate, that would be an honour for me. Like, I wouldn't care how much he beat me by to be standing on the platform.
Just sharing the bowl.
Yep. And like I said, to be able to take home a heat list.
Yeah.
And with my name on that heat list with some of my idols on it, that's all I want. Like,
well, hopefully this travels across to wherever and pricks up a few ears and take note, because that just doesn't make sense. Like, if you can have a caliber of where certain personnel should fit into, and also with the like trying to compartmentalize it with the 40 to 45 when you can should go 40 and then
it should
just should be open doors.
It should just stay how it's always stayed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I like about like guys like Renton Miller who run King of Concrete, you know. He's always said my Masters will be 40 and over because it's always been 40 and over. And that's what the people expect. Like, it's, you know, but hey, you know, you're always going to get that, you know, there's always going to be people that are just in it for the money and not,
yeah,
you know. I was just, look, at my age, mate, I never ever thought that I'd be getting free pads, free decks, free clothes. Like, it's surreal sometimes.
You still got it, brother.
But, you know, well, I did, end of 2019, I did sort of, I've been getting a bit loose, mate, you know, like, you know, not afraid to admit it, or I'm not going to lie, you know, like, I've been having a good time lately.
Mate, it's life.
And so I.
That happens.
I didn't go in King of Concrete Newcastle.
Oh, that was that in December?
Yeah, just like 21st of December.
Yep.
So previously I'd won the last 2 years, King of Concrete Newcastle. But this year I just some things have happened in the skate scene, like with comps and just like I'm not protesting or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a little bit, I won't say upset, but
disappointed.
Yeah, a little bit disappointed, and I just thought, and look, I'm obviously, you can hear when I talk about Renton Miller, you know, I like the guy, and I commend everything he does for skateboarding in Australia. Yeah. He, you know, if Renton stops doing what he's doing, a lot of skateboarders are going to feel it, but they're not going to feel it until he stops. You know what I mean? Like. Mm. They don't appreciate what he does. They won't appreciate it until it's stopped. And when it is stopped, they'll be like, oh.
We're talking about stopping. You ain't stopping, are you?
No, I'm not stopping. So
what's going on 2020?
So this is what's happened, right? So I had I went in a little local comp and I sort of didn't get the result I thought I should have got. And like, I'm not all about results and stuff, you know, but I've been in enough comps to know when I should get a result, right? And I didn't get that result, and I thought, yeah, you know what? So then King of Concrete came around, and I was like, oh, you know what? Everyone was expecting me to be there.
Just to go into that, like, while we're talking about results, so can you go into the judging system of how it's laid out?
Okay, so before I go into the specifics of the judging and that, there's an old saying in the skate scene. If you want to get judged unfairly, go in a skate comp. and that's it's a funny thing. And my mate, I've mentioned his name before, Luke Snell. We skate together all the time. Unfortunately, Luke's out with a really bad knee injury at the moment, but Luke Snell is like my partner in crime. Everyone would know if Luke was at the bowl, Simon was at the bowl. Simon was at the bowl, Luke was at the bowl. And we went everywhere, like Five Dock, like Mona Vale, Newcastle, and we went in all the comps all the time. And Luke got ripped off in Five Dock comp a couple of years. Like, I just thought, mate, if you're not fourth, you're podium, buddy. Like, you're about to get your first podium. That's what I thought. And he got smashed. And I was like, no way.
Way down the ranks.
No way he should have scored there, you know. And this happens every comp, you know. So So the way the judges work it is, so basically you'll get three runs. So you might, say there's eight masters competing in that competition. So you'll have one heat of eight skaters, and those eight skaters will have three 40-second runs. And it's your best run that counts. That might put you into a final, or it could be a straight final. And that's the end of the day. It's like, so you get three runs, and they'll judge you on every run, and your highest run score will take you through. And that's just how they judge. So,
and that's the same across the board with straight and everything else?
Oh, no, straight's a bit different. So in a bowl run, when you drop in, your time starts. And you might get, you know, you might do a 50-50 around a bowl corner and then a frontside air, and then you might bail out on your rock and roll. Run's over. That's your first run done. But in a street comp, you might get a minute for your first run. And you might drop in and go to do a kickflip over the fun box and you might not make it, but you can pick your board up and run and keep going and your time's still there. But in a bowl comp, when you fall, that's it.
Bail, done.
Run's over. Get out of the bowl, the next guy's up, wait for your next run, you know. So I've been in comps where my first run, completely shit. Second run, even worse. And I'm standing there going, oh, no, I want to win this comp and I've only got one run to do it now. It's do or die. And, yeah, and that's how it is. Like, so then if you go into a final, then it's the same again, same format all the time. Like, best run counts.
They never change it up.
So, which is good because I feel that that's...
So you do like it, how it's run that way as soon as you
bail? I think it's a lot fairer that way. Then adding all the scores together, you know, so I'll add your score from your first run to your score from your second run to your score from your third run, and that total tells me who won. That's, to me, that's not, like, you can manipulate that kind of skateboarding.
Yeah, you can. Now that I think of it, like, especially, you know, in a bowl, so.
Yeah, because you get points for... So the
because then someone that's consistent,
yep, you hit the nail on the head, mate.
That's not going to be throwing some of these crazy tech moves out, but maybe their consistency is what gets them over the line.
So every year, big competition in the Gold Coast at Elanora Skate Park. It's run by a guy named Chad Ford, and the comp's called Bowlzilla. And they also, have in Wellington, New Zealand, they have Bowlzilla as well. So they do a comp in New Zealand and a comp in Australia, all run by the same people and everything. And they have what I think is the best competition bowl criteria.
Right.
You know, and they, on their Facebook page and their Instagram page, when the comp's coming up, they have their criteria on there. So you can scroll through it and you can see what the judges are judging on, you know. So basically they want length of ride. So you get 40 seconds. They want to see you skate that bowl for the whole 40 seconds.
Right.
Right. And they want to see you use the whole bowl, not just this little bit like a half pipe. It's a bowl. It's not a half pipe.
Yeah.
Use all of the bowl, right. And then it's... So it's use of course, length of ride, use of course, and then your tricks sort of come into play, you okay. know. So it's not necessarily the guy that jumps in there and does the four craziest tricks and then falls off. You know, old mate that's, like you said, super consistent.
Doing, not busting out some crazy tech stuff.
Bust out a 540 or whatever. Yeah. Like, you hit that coping, you launch in air, and you hit every part of the bowl, and that, and you'll score well. Like, it's a bit of a chess game almost. Like,
makes sense. Like, and that's what you want, so it evens it out if you do have that person that is consistent. And then you do have that person that's not so much, but they might only do, say, three tricks, which are pretty tech, but that's their sole focus and what they work on. But then they might land those three and it is consistent. So, but if they only land two and then on the third they bust out, that's a wrap, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. It's just funny, like... and I guess too, because I guess in a bowl you sort of building up speed and using a lot of momentum to hit different hips and stuff. So, you know, I guess once you do drop in and you bail one trick, you're like, oh. It's not like when you're in a street course how you can just, like, just you know, run back, grab your board and you keep running to the next obstacle.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and you just throw your board down just before it and then ollie, grind, land.
Yeah, not having to build that momentum up for a certain trick where you know I need the speed to hit that. Mate,
exactly, yeah. Mm. I need X amount of speed because I want to get 4 foot high in the air off that and...
Yeah.
So sometimes it gets really strategic. Like I said, like I've come down to my last run going like... And you know what else is funny? Like until Masters came around... I've never really been a competitive guy, like.
Yeah, because I remember growing up, just I don't remember seeing you in too many comps or anything like that.
No, I just wanted to skate and have fun with my mates, and you know, like we've been talking about, like some of my best times skating were those days we skated in Wyong. Like that was true, raw core skateboarding. Yeah, you know? We skateboarded from Grimo's house to there, and then we skateboarded from there to there, and that's skateboarded right. from there to the, you know,
from right. the public school to the high school and to the TAFE.
And then at the end of the day, we all skated to the pub. Or, that's you know, right. Or we all went to the Bottle-O and went back
chilling
to
out, having a few like, beers. Yeah,
yeah, like they were good times, mate.
Shout
like,
out to Mick and Rhonda for letting nice rat bags sit
I
around.
I tell you what, that mate, Grimo and. Keep forgetting his brother's name.
Jono.
Grimo and Jono. Mate, you guys have got the best parents. Like, Jesus, we put them through so much. Like, there was one time where I was in Mick's backyard with a fire extinguisher. Like, just going, running around the clothesline, spraying this fire extinguisher. And he comes outside. I hardly even remember. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, look what I found. And it was just blowing all that big white smoke everywhere.
That's nuts.
And Mick's like, yeah, come on, Dicko, put it down, come inside.
Yeah, they were never angry.
No, just put me to bed. And I'm like, yay, Mick.
Just sleep it off, champ, you'll be right.
Yeah, I think Jono gets up in the morning, he's like, what are you doing here? It's like, oh, he was trying to put the clothesline out, but it wasn't on fire.
Oh, man. But just while we're talking about a lot of the local guys, one, you know, that I respected hotly, you know, because we were the same age and growing up and had a lot of promise. Remember Caleb?
Caleb.
Yeah. He'd do a lot of switch stuff. He had a lot of promise coming up and skateboarding. You'd know. If you saw him, you'd know.
Probably, yeah. I remember it for a while there, Clint got really, really good too.
Clint went all right until he started blowing his ACL and his knees out and all that. But this bloke, I've got one really good memory. It's when they first put the rail in at Wyong Station. Like, it was only the Kisser rail. I only could, like, and it was pretty high to get up to it. You know, I'd just throw a board, slide front board. That was it. And then this bloke comes along and, like, to get up and over it. So he 5-0'd it from the top, and I think I remember he K'd it, But he'd go from the top, so he'd hug a lot more of it than, you know, I'd just tap, I'd be off, and this bloke's going from the top. And he didn't roll away 100%, but come along switch frontside flip, caught it midway, turned the rest, landed, probably rolled about a metre or two, then fell off. But that's still a...
It's a make in my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, getting all nostalgic thinking about back in those days, brother. But moving on to the next generation, your son, young Callan, brother. Like, it's been good for me. Like, you know, I've been watching yourself, like, through Instagram, social media, and just watching your young fella and just you guys cruising around at the different skate parks and just watching that young fella grow as a skateboarder and just getting immersed in that culture with yourself, mate.
Mate, as a dad, I think I didn't know that getting my son into skateboarding would have turned out to be like the best bonding experience that me and my son could have ever had over, like, it's still going, you know, and it started when... I think it's about 7 or 8 when he... So how it's... I was going to skate parks. Obviously, I had my son, so he had to come with me. So I started first, I just take the scooter with him. He's about 5 or 6. And believe me, I didn't want to. Scooter was the last thing I wanted, but all I wanted... As a dad, I'm thinking about how can I stay at the skate park for a decent amount of time here? Take his scooter.
Yep, yep.
Right? And... sweet, everything was going good. Then I started just throwing his skateboard in the car as well. And then, but I never said to him, you know, have a go.
No, pushing him, yeah.
And then one day, completely out of the blue, he just walked up to me and he said, "Dad, can I ride my skateboard?" And I just went, "Son, of course you can." And I got the skateboard out and then he just started to have little goes on the skateboard and then get back on the scooter. And then eventually one day, he just said, "Oh, I'm not taking the scooter. I'm just taking my skateboard." And I was like, "Yep."
Just grew from there.
And that's how it started. So there's a little bit of advice for any parents that want to get their kids into skateboarding. Unfortunately, I found it good to start them on a scooter, but have both options there, you know?
And yeah. And how has it been with him, like, especially when you're skating bowls and vert, and just learning how to bail and taking stacks and how to get back up and dust it off and try not letting that stuff discourage you from rolling still?
I watched my son dropped in the deep end at Baddow. I remember when he did that the first time. And we weren't sort of pushing him to drop in there, but we were like, "Mate, like, that's your next step, you know, like, you'd start dropping in on vert ramps, but so." And then me and my mate just turn around and here he is. He's got his board over the coping at the deep end of Baddow. And before I could even say, "Hey," his foot went on the front of his board and he dropped in. Sweet. Up the waterfall.
Oh.
Carve around the bowl. Got out and I was like, "Whoa," my mate's like, "Did you see that?" I was like, "Yeah, I did." And then he'd done it again. And we were like, "Whoa." And then he done it a third time. And I was like, "Oi, mate, I've just got to delete some stuff off my phone. I need you to do it again. I want to film it." And he goes, "Oh, I don't really want to." I said, "Come on, mate, I want to get it on camera. It's a big deal, you know?"
Yeah.
Mate, that poor little kid had the slam of his life after that.
Took the wind out of him.
He dropped in. When he got to the bottom of the transition, he just stood up too quick and he got all wobbled and out of shape, and then he just got shit-whipped straight into the wall of the waterfall.
Like, yeah, yep.
Just splattered. It was like something out of a cartoon. How you just sit, like, someone just getting thrown against the wall to, like...
Yeah, to peel him off the bowl, mate.
Yeah, it was so bad. Like, there's video... I've got a video of it in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I just remember I just dived into the bowl just going, "Just breathe." Because as soon as he hit, I just heard him just go... And even when I got down in the bowl, he's like, "Why did you make me do that?"
Blame Dad. Blame Dad.
But he's been really lucky. Like, he hasn't had any major...
like brace or anything like that.
Nothing yet, you know, and he's done really well. Like, he rides for Excite Pads as well now.
See, and that'd be a massive incentive for him, like, to get in and keep rolling, because he's going into comps and that too, yeah?
Yep, he's big in the comp scene. Like, I had him going in comps, like, 8 years old, I think, he was going in comps. Like, not doing any good, but just getting his mindset, prepared for that comp scene. And now he goes, it's nothing for him to go in a comp. You know, yeah. a lot of kids, you can see them, like, fold. They're nervous, mate. Like,
they get, as the lights hit and everybody's watching them.
Mate, you watch them in practice and you're like, oh, this kid's got it in the bag. But as soon as it comes to their name getting called out on the microphone, you're like, wow, what happened to that kid? But Callan, he's past all that. Like, it's normal. He's been in that many comps that it's just a normal environment for him, you know? Like,
that's awesome.
And how I always sort of try to take that edge off for him was, I said, mate, don't. I said, just don't worry about how many people are looking at you. I said, all you need to think about is, like, I get to skate this bowl by myself for a whole minute with no one else. I said, that's all you need to worry about, mate.
Just block out the noise.
And you just do everything you want, because you're the only person who's allowed to skate that bowl for that amount of time then. So just do it.
That's your space.
That's how I taught myself to skate in comps, like, block the crowd out. It's like, it's my bowl for 40 seconds.
And just run us through the process of bailing the correct way. Everybody's going to have difference of opinion.
All right. Well,
because it does get tricky when someone's up in the air, and how to turn, how to fold your legs back, and just go knees first.
Yeah. Well, see, the biggest misconception is what you just said. Everyone thinking that you can bail while you're in the air and land straight to your knees. If you actually watch videos of guys bailing, you'll see every vert skater, every bowl skater, every skater that does an air who has pads on, when they're bailing, they will put one foot on the surface first, then go to their knees. They will stop that initial...
yeah.
Intenseness sort of thing.
Yeah, like, yeah, so the momentum just gets jarred a little bit and then you just cruise into the slide.
Yeah, so it's always that sort, and that's what I was trying to teach my son, like, just one run out first, one step then to your knees, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't try and do a 6 foot high air and land straight on your knees into that bowl.
Oh, talking about that, just thinking of the craziest... well, he couldn't bail. I'm pretty sure he hit the Copen. Jake Brown, I think it was X Games, mega ramp, spinning, hit, and when he hit the...
That was Danny Way.
No, was it? Didn't he hit the bottom and his bloody shoes come off?
No, so there's two real good ones, right?
Oh, okay.
So Danny Way done a massive 540, but went backwards, like over the platform.
Oh, he went over.
When he was spinning. So when he went to come in, his shins hit the coping. Like, apparently he broke his ankle on that impact. Like, shins hit, front flip.
Guy's got so much metal and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Right. But, yeah, but so what Jake Brown did, Jake Brown popped off the coping and popped out too far.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he popped out the other way. He went away from the platform instead of over the platform.
I don't know how he didn't end up in a bloody wheelchair like me.
I think they worked it out. It was something like a 5-story drop or something that he did.
It's
3 or 5 stories. Like,
I just remember when he hit in those two shoes, man, just
massive. So, speaking of Jake Brown has been in talks with Excite Pads as well.
Nice.
So he could be another possible
Aussie in the fold, yep. Bro.
Jake Brown did wear Excite elbow pads in X Games Sydney this year and proudly showed them off.
Well, it's good. Like, I hope some of these Aussies and other international skaters want to embrace, you know, not
Australian made, Australian owned company. Like,
that's right. You not know? Some massive conglomerate owns and blankets the scene. So, because we need these other players in the scene to be competitive.
So at the moment, my son and I, we ride for Excite Pads Australia, and they're on Instagram.
Big shout out to Excite.
Excite. And
knee pads,
everything, all skateboarding safety equipment, knee pads, elbow pads, wrist cards. Oh, not helmets yet, but probably will be in the bag. But complete range of pads from beginners to expert, like with everything in between, like
all different sizes,
everything. And some of the like, and I don't just say this because I'm sponsored by them, but the quality that is in these pads is just ridiculous, like. And these pads are so you can take the foam out of these pads.
Yep.
Obviously
when they wear down pads, and sweat,
they wear and they lose their like cloudiness, you know, their fluffiness and poof.
They start going a bit more rigid.
Yeah, they do. And so you can buy new foams and everything to replace your old foams, and you can get new caps, new straps, like.
You don't have to buy a whole new unit.
No, you don't. You can just keep upgrading it, and you can wash them, and you can. So you get like 187. 187. So they're like, they have cornered the pad market. You know? Big American corporation, money, 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 shit. Like, you can't take the foam out of the pad to wash it, so.
You have to buy a whole new unit.
Can you imagine? Like, you know what sweat does to shit,
Because I used to have to wear pads, like, especially when I broke something and I want to wear like a wrist guard or whatever it was, just to, you know, if you're getting back into it, getting rid of that fear factor.
Yep. So,
you know,
so Excite's big deal is that their whole pad is modular. So you can open the pad up and you can pull all the foam out.
That makes so much sense.
You can take the cap off it. You can take the straps off it, and then you throw your pad in the washing machine.
Yeah.
And then if you break a strap, you can replace the straps. Like
I've got other sports in mind where that could come into play.
So many, like BMXing, motocross, like, you know.
Yeah.
But the big deal is like you said, so.
Because everybody's different in their shape and size, so if you can.
Yeah, and there's also like additives to the pad where you can put the main foam back in the pad, but then there's these little donut bits that you can slide in there to bolt the padding up. So, for example, like you might have a weird size, like a medium knee pad might be too small, but a large is too big, right? So you buy the large and you put the extra padding in it, which bulks it up, which makes it fit a bit tighter.
Yeah, but not just that. It makes sense more if you want to, I wouldn't say downgrade, but be less padding, like in a situation where you're comfortable compared if you're going to hit the mega ramp and you want to be padded up to the wazoo, you know what I mean? So
you
can bulk it up.
What you just said was perfect because going back to I got off topic a bit, but I was talking about Bowl and Nana in Coffs Harbour. So that's every year, but that's only a little bowl. Like predominantly that bowl's only 4 foot deep, right? And I don't usually skate bowls that small.
Yeah.
But for what you're
pretty tiny compared to the rest of the scene.
But what you were saying from my brief explanation of Excite pads to you, you're like, well, if you want to skate a smaller ramp, couldn't you take some of that padding out to make your pad less restrictive, so you could get it.
That's exactly what
you can do with that pad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if people want to find these pads, do you want to spell it out? So it's EXITE Australia. Where can they find them? Social media? Do you want
to? Instagram. I think it's just excite.com on Instagram. They're on Facebook as well, but Instagram's where it's at. All the links to the web, the shop and everything all on their Instagram and that. And they're just 100% Australian owned.
So, folks, you heard Dicko. You know where to find them. Australian owned, and how you can modularize a lot of these different padding systems. So hit up those links and throw in some of that safety gear. Support some of these smaller mobs.
Yeah,
they
want
to compete with the big guns.
Support the local boys. And, you know, look, anyone that knows skateboarding surely would know who Taz Pappas is.
Yeah.
And Taz Pappas is a major supporter of Excite. His latest photo on Instagram, he's skating Paran vert ramp, doing a big, like, Japan air or something. He's got Excite pads on.
God, that brings back memories, that ramp. It's been there forever. Well, that's where those two brothers learn, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, to be on the same team as someone like Taz Pappas, like, I never thought that that would be something I would ever...
So, mate, being on the same team, Taz Pappas, what's in your sights for 2020?
All right, 2020. Well, obviously I'm not going to the Olympics. But you know what? Like I mentioned earlier that I didn't go in King of Concrete Newcastle this year. That was only because it's got nothing to do with the skate scene or the judging scene or the comp scene or anything like that. That was more of a personal decision. I don't think I was sort of feeling it. I don't know. Like, I'm big on comp. Like, I'm telling you, in 2018, 2019, there's not one master skateboarder that went in more comps than I did. I'm telling you.
I know, you're everywhere. Like, just looking at your Instagram feed, I'm like, he's bloody, you know, he's up north, east, south, west. Yeah. The bloke's everywhere. Mate, the compass is going off the door.
We put it in. But I had a goal, mate. You know? And I wanted to be at the top of those ASF rankings. And I got there and I'm proud of myself for doing that. And now I've decided, now that, you know what, I guess you could sort of say that, because I had a brief conversation with someone. They asked me about Taz Pappas. And I said, look, He went in X Games Sydney and he beat himself up at X Games. Like, he skated with a broken wrist. He had a knee issue. Like, he was a beaten man. When he dropped in on that ramp for his qualifying, he was already broken. Like,
and still giving it a crack.
And he smashed it. Like, I mean, shouts out to Taz Pappas, because he put his body, he put everything on the line for that comp. Like,
shout out big time. Like, he's been in the scene for a long time.
And still going hard. And still he's older going. Than me.
Yeah.
You know?
Doesn't and stop. Got to keep rolling.
He's an inspiration.
100%. And so, comps. Is there any one lined up first?
Okay, so...
Don't want to put you on the spot, brother.
No.
Pressure's on. Number one master. They're coming hard and heavy after you.
Batto usually happens in February.
Okay.
So King of Concrete Batto is usually in February. Hasn't been announced yet. So that means I'll be going for my third win at Batto, I think. Third or second? Might only be my second, actually. But either way, I'll back it up. Like, I'll take out Batto. That's my goal. If Batto's on, I'm winning.
It's on. And I'm going to make sure I've got a good spot. Not too close to the Copen, but close enough to see.
Oh, you'll be on the platform.
100%.
So this year, I don't know, like, so 2020 is a bit of a funny year for Australian skateboarding with competitions because Renton Miller, who organises a lot of the King of Concrete comps and that, he's also one of the respected world judges.
Yeah, right.
So he judges comps in Brazil and all around the world. He judged X Games Sydney. So if it's a major comp, Renton's probably going to be one of the Australian judges there, you know.
Yeah, like, they hold him up there. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's, you know, not trying to blow wind up his ass or anything, but he's a big deal for Australian skateboarding.
100%.
Like, you know, and there's a lot of other people too. Like, you can't forget Trevor Ward from the Gold Coast. Like,
no.
He's doing a lot
was
of stuff.
Was he originally from Sydney, down Mona Vale? No.
I'm not 100% sure.
Because I remember seeing the guy, like, when that Monster Skate Park was, I don't know if he was sponsored by him, but I'm pretty sure I remember him skating down there. I wasn't too sure. And this is not that long ago. Like, and he's been around for a while, but I just assumed he was Sydney based. But
Well, he's in Gold Coast now. Like, got massive big indoor skate park called Skate All Day, and they just, you know, they're all about coaching kids and just the good of skateboarding. You know, like, he does big camps and everything. He's got accommodation at his skate park.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. He's like that. The Queensland government are right behind him, and
so he's like the Australian sort of like Woodward, in a way. Sort
in a
of
way,
thing.
Yeah. Like, yeah, very smaller scale, yeah. But
hey,
yeah,
it's
like,
a start.
Yeah, it is.
It's
man.
Good like, that it's good to know that now.
So, you know, it's basically it's like Renton Miller's running comps and keeping comps alive in Australia, and Trevor Ward's at the other end of Australia pushing coaching and, you know, getting kids focused on what they want to do and giving them some drive and some purpose and, you know, putting on camps and just, you know, they're both doing different things for skateboarding, but they're both equally important for skateboarding in Australia, like
100%.
So yeah, so we don't have a lot coming up in 2020, mainly because of the Olympics, you know, like.
Well, you'd think they'd be gearing up some of the regional comps and some of the other smaller ones, like, because you've got to warm up before you're on the big stage.
There's a qualifying process to become a part of the Olympic team.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
But that's, you know, you're talking like Keegan Palmer's, Kieran Woolley's. I don't even know who the third person could be, but.
Just some of the new blood coming through. He's been on the scene for a little bit. But
well, Keegan Palmer's already competing in the States and everything, yeah. So he's 100% going to represent Australia.
I was going to say Shane O'Neill.
Well, yeah, but see,
he blows it out of the water on a
not
on a
quite sure
on a tech level.
Yeah, yeah, but not quite sure how much like liaising he has with Australia anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay,
because he's living in the States. Like,
yeah.
That's where he is now. Like, and shouts out to Shane O'Neill. Like. Probably one of the most successful Australian skateboarders ever. Like,
he's up there.
Made a life in this day and age of how it is.
Street
league and
all of that biz. But, brother, before we. So we sort of have an idea where you go in 2020. If Batto's up.
Bowlanana, Coffs Harbour. I'm going to win it this year. Yeah. Bevan. I'm coming. I'm winning.
Coming for you, brother. Ty
Cooling, watch out.
So, got that. Got Batto Yard. Hopefully that pops up in February.
Yep.
And I'll be seeing there, throwing some of your frontside airs out and everything else in between. But is there anybody, any shout-outs or anything else that you want to throw out in the atmosphere, some of your social media tags, anything like that before we wrap it up,
mate,
Brother Brown?
I just want to give, like, the biggest thanks I can to Mark and Anika from Excite Australia. They have just, they've done so much for me and my son Callan. Like, this, I can't give them enough thanks. Like, we're all 100% Excite for life, I am. Like, you know, I'll be getting an Excite tattoo. That's how committed I am to Excite. And UFO Labs that are on my shirt here as well. They do boards and clothes and that, but they're in a bit of a hiatus at the moment. It's a tough market, you know.
Well, hopefully that builds up again, being a local mob.
And look, even though they're in a hiatus, I still rep UFO Labs, and you know, they've Ryan and Rebecca, they done heaps for me and my son. Like some of the packages that we got in the mail from UFO Labs, it was like made me and my son feel like rock stars, hey? Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was so good, like.
And to be able to enjoy that together as father and son, like something you've been so passionate about, and being able to not force, let him find his way through it and be able to go along that journey with your brother.
Yeah, I've never pushed it on him, you know, like.
Mm.
When he got sponsored by Excite, and UFO labs, I said to him, you know what, some days you might not want to skate bowl, but you got to because you're sponsored now and you've got commitments. And and that was as hard as I ever got. Like, it was like, oh, look, they expect this and they expect that, so you got to produce, mate. But other than that, it's like you just skate, mate. Like,
just skate.
I'm happy if you're skating.
That's it. Skate and enjoy or skate and destroy, man.
So the whole time I've been here today, he's been at Batter Yard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sweating it out, grinding it out.
Who knows what he's doing. Hopefully grinding it out and sweating it out.
Yeah. So where can we get you, brother, on your socials if you want to throw them out?
I'm on Instagram at Blackbeard476. And that's about it, really. Just Instagram.
Brother.
I'm not a big social media dude. Like, I'm on Facebook, but I leave that for my friends.
Yeah.
But Instagram is just Blackbeard476. And that a lot of my skateboarding, and that goes on my Instagram and me and my son's little shenanigans and whatnot. But, yeah, look, I'd just be more happy if anyone wants to follow anything from this, if they follow Excite, you
That's
know.
It.
And
Excite and jump on
Jake's podcast and YouTube channel. Like.
Beauty, man, much appreciated. Anything else you want to say, brother, before we wrap it up?
Man, I just want to say thank you to you. Like, this has been a mad chat. Like,
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I could have chatted for a whole day with you. Like.
Yeah, I know, man. I think we're running
out. It's been so good, yeah. So good.
Mate, and I really appreciate you coming over. Like what I said at the start, you're someone that I really respected growing up as a skateboarder, role model, and just, you know, watching what you used to do at the skate park and out on the streets on a board, and I took a lot from that. Much appreciated, my friend.
I appreciate it. Flattered. Humbled, mate.
Go get that gold for Batto.
Oh, well, man. Gold for Batto, eh? Let's just do gold for the coast.
That's it. Boom.
Love it.
Cheers,
Love
brother.
It. Thanks, Jake. Cheers. You're a bloody legend, mate.
Beauty. Man, it's awesome catching up with Dicko and seeing the bloke in a long time. Just yarning about the love of skateboarding, you know? Even though I'm not rolling around anymore. Still love the stuff, being involved and watching it, and seeing his love and appreciation of it still, and still forging ahead, competing. Doesn't matter what age you are, give it a crack. Love your work, brother, Dicko. Keep pushing forward, mate. And if you want to get in contact with me, you can get me at Instagram at StreetRollingCheater. Or email one word, streetrollingcheater@gmail.com. Or the Facebook page, Keep Rolling with Jake Briggs. And if you liked it, hit that subscribe button. It'd be much appreciated. And want to thank our sponsors, Permabill Australia, greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here. And they got great assistive tech also. So righto, we'll see you on the next one.